chapter 1, verses 8 through the end of the chapter. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times, and I pray that now, at last, my God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jews, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them.
Point out how much faster it is if you use the wire. We've got a two-week meeting coming up. There's going to be a lot of meat served, a lot of good study. So this morning, kind of what I'm doing is a fruit and vegetable serving, I think. There's a kind of taking a little different look at things. And we're going to base it on a verse here that's come up, and it was in Romans 1 and 20. This has come up a number of times, actually in our classes recently. The verse is this: since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. We're going to look at this verse today. We're going to take a look around and ask yourself, are we getting a little isolated from the creation of God and the power of it? As we take a little look here this morning, we're going to look at the creation with some little science thrown in. Science is just a branch of knowledge. It's dealing with supposedly facts and truths, but we know that's just not always the case. But remember, as I mentioned scientific facts along with the creation, that science is corrupted by a number of things. When the depends on who's funding the studies that are going on, the supposedly science. Governments influence science. Religions have influenced science. And then the biggest factor that influenced science from its pure form would be errors, because we're humans and there's many things we don't understand. So if there's a scripture in here, it's dead on. If there's some scientific fact, let's keep that in perspective. But I think I've stuck with just some very basic things that are well known to man. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and made this universe that we live in. And the more we advance in the scientific world, the more we see, wow, this thing is really, really big. 93 billion light years is the observable universe as far as we know. And man can travel a lot. If you think about how far that is, I could write lots of zeros up here, but the fastest man has been able to get anything going is 7 miles per second. If he could bump that up to 186,000 miles per second, he could get across the universe in only 93 billion years. That is just beyond the comprehension of man, and certainly shows the power of God. And the smarter we get, it seems like, from knowledge of what's around us, the more awesome those numbers become. So we have this big universe and we're just this little bitty spot. I mean, if God had just created the solar system that we were in, this massive solar system, we can't even get past the moon and we're working on Mars, we'd have all the exploring we could do, couldn't we? But we're just but a little bitty speck, a little bitty pinhead in this thing. And one of the things I'd like to ask you is, you know, why did you do all of this, you know? But he wanted me to be without excuse, didn't he? No matter how much we learn, he wanted man to be able to look and say, this is just me saying this. And I would say he wanted to be able man to look at him and say, well, that's just beyond comprehension. And truly, it is. I'd like to read Psalms, the 8th chapter, as we contemplate this universe we live in. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man, that you care for him? Isn't that what you think when you see that little speck? What are we that he is mindful of us? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and beasts of the field and birds of the air and fish of the sea and all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Went along real well with Art's first song this morning, didn't it? I wanted to, rather than have Art jump up here, let's turn to your praise book number 15. Praise book number 15. Let's just sing this one time through. Let there be expanse between the waters to separate the water from water. And he made this earth, this perfect little ball for us to live on. Some interesting facts about the ball you can see up there. What's a day? 23 hours, 15 minutes, 4.09 seconds. That's because the people that actually made it up didn't know exactly what it was, and we do now. God knows how long a day is. Orbits. 365 days, 6 hours, 9 minutes, 9.54 seconds, traveling at 66,700 miles an hour. In a galaxy, we orbit every 220 million years. Remarkable, remarkable thing. Placed right here for us to see and experience every day. In Psalms 33, verses 6 through 15, I'm going to read, "And by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of nations, and he thwarts the purpose of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord and the people he chose for his inheritance." And here, "From the heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do." The God that made this amazing universe cares about what we do. "And the land produced vegetation, and it filled up in this beautiful earth that we live on." Seeds, 2,000 years old, grow. Dirt and water make plants. Phil and Missy are growing a garden for Luke, and Phil came into my house with one of his vegetables. He said, "Isn't this amazing? You know, dirt and water." You know, we're kind of isolated from the farm in our house, but it still is amazing when you think about it. So you just gotta put yourself in that position. "Then he created great creatures of the sea and every living thing and all these different animals that we got." You always have to put kitty cats, you know, if you want to show what God created. Everybody always goes, "Ooh," they're supposed to go, "Ooh." But anyway, just a few things up here. But just the whole idea is sometimes we don't think about it. And we just get in our everyday patterns. And I'd just like to bring up a few neat things. I mean, when God made the earth and created all these things, I mean, he put some really neat stuff in here, stuff that couldn't be appreciated until maybe more along our time frame as science progresses, who are hidden. What is the first one? Well, I can't help but think the bird is really, really neat. And I put in there because it's such a complex mechanism on how the weight and balance works. Like, you know, we worked hard to learn to get an airplane to fly, and this is a perfect example of flight and all the intricacies it needs. And the fact that these kinds of things and some of man's crazy ideas about how it got here and got started, you can't incrementally get to a machine this magnificent as a bird. Okay, one other one, spiders. You know, spiders are something we generally don't like, but they are really cool because they're architects, they're engineers, and they even make their own building supplies. And with no brain at all, they can figure out how to make a web in a very complex situation. I remember going down to on my dock, and there's lots of spiders around the lakes, and there was one web that would show up from the boat over to the dock and over to the lift. I couldn't figure out how this spider did that. And if I sat down there, I'd knock it down and it'd be back up the next time. So I sat down there and I said, I think the only way you could do it would be this, this, and this, and this, but I don't think he could figure that out. And that spider made it that way. Then I squashed him. There's lots of spiders in this world. And you're reminded of it. Every time you walk through a spider web and you go, ooh, but think about it. That's a neat little creature. Another one that we know of now called the flagellum. This is a little whirly thing that propels certain cells in maybe mucuses or sperm and other types of cells. And it's got like 20 parts, and they all have to work just right. And you can only see this under the very good microscopes and know what you're looking for. Doesn't that fly in the face of what man seems to think? Just amazing things. I just picked those out as examples. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul in the image of God. That was his last of the creations. The human body is just an absolutely amazing thing, and you could go on and on with facts on that. But the brain runs on only 10 watts. Very small power for something that powerful. It's 3 to 3,000 terabytes, different estimates. I think for memory-wise, I'm on the lower end of that, and my retrieval's kind of slow, but there are some people that have on the higher end of that, I can tell. 60,000 miles of blood vessel, the surface area of a lung is the same as that of a tennis court. We feel emotions. Just the list goes on and on about how amazing this body is that he gave us. And thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. And it's here for us. What are the reasons for that? So we will have no excuse. So we can, anywhere we're at in this whole world, we can stop for a minute and we can look around and we can go, wow, day or night, anytime. Just look. Power of God. Let's look at that verse again. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. We're without excuses, but what happens to man? What do we do? The little saying at the bottom comes to my mind, can't see the forest for the trees. We get going every day. We got comfort. We got air conditioning. We got cars that take us places. We have all these other things that man made. They're just trivial compared to what God has done, but we get lost in them. We get lost in our own knowledge. So if you go right after the 20th verse in Romans, the first chapter, and you start looking at the next few verses, they're really bulletized. After he said man has no excuse, then he goes into what man does. They knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. We don't want to fall in that trap, do we? I want to give thanks to God all the time. Their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. They claimed to be wise, and they became fools. Got a man comes up with the theory of evolution, and you look at it more and more. I got a couple slides on that if I've got time. But how foolish does that look? How foolish. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Randy's class this morning. They, and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator. Does that happen to us? We don't make reptiles and bow down to them, but we certainly have lots of other things that take over our lives that we put faith in that we shouldn't. I have two slides on this. What seems so foolish when you look at the creation and how magnificent it is the evolution. And I just want to go through that just very briefly because it's taught in the public schools. And if you're young people, please listen. Is there are problems with the theory are not covered. So you ask your kids when they come home from school if they've been studying this theory, say, okay, you've learned the theory of evolution. What are the holes that are in it? What are the pieces that don't fit that they're still working on? Well, I don't know. They didn't teach us that. Exactly. There's no alternatives given. No, I don't think they should teach creationism, but I mean, there just isn't a good theory for all this stuff. So let's just not cover it. There is just no decent explanation. And now, as we gain our scientific backgrounds, we learn DNA structures and how the different chains work between species, and there's huge jumps. Now the papers are getting more and more elaborate on how that could occur. So a few hip pocket things to keep in mind that don't fit with evolution. If you ever want to look into any of these, and these are topics in themselves. Limited lifespan. You know, all these things on Earth have limited lifespan. The theory of evolution says, hey, as it works better, it just progresses. They don't fit together. The limited lifespan really hurts the progression, and that seems to be built in to everything. Sexual reproduction makes no sense. Why have a male and a female? Because when one of these iterations occurs, and they do occur, they get washed out because they're male and the female, and it may be recessive, and it doesn't even show up again for a long time. If it was asexual, boom, that one would proceed on as it would. It doesn't make sense. And all these little jumps that occur in evolution, you have to have a male and a female. I mean, it really doesn't match the concepts there. Complex mechanisms, I mentioned. Sometimes several things have to happen and work together just precisely. It's almost like God puts some things there and says, you know, if they start thinking that, let them look at this, and then there's no way they can believe that. We still do. So many men still do. And he's got to be up there going, what are they thinking? Systems become more disordered, don't they, Paul? Anytime any system that's known to man that we study in any physics class or anything else, it starts ordered maybe and tends to disorder. Our gene pool is getting worse. We're getting more contaminations and things happening to our bodies. We're getting better at medicine. There's getting all kinds of little defects people are born with, and some of them don't show up till after their productive years. That doesn't make sense. And all the new genetics and DNA I mentioned, new findings all the time that they have to go back and redo their theories. So that's enough of that, but that's a whole nother talk. But when you start looking at the creation and then you look at this theory, just to me, it just blows my mind. So what do I want to get to today? I just want to think about reconnecting with the creation and what's around us and what's God given us that's obvious for us. Let's do some things. Every now and then, let's put away the gadgets. Maybe you campers are already do that. I'm not a camper, so I've got to consciously put away the gadgets. But I do that. I take walks. I enjoy sunsets more than I used to. Then when you get rid of the gadgets, look at nature and when you see amazing things, remind others where it came from. Don't just talk about the science. Tell them that God did that. Remind them, because other people, they just think that science has got the answers for everything. And pray to God just to praise Him and thank Him for that wonderful creation. You know, it's amazing. huge, huge universe. We're this little bitty speck, and he cares. He told us in what I read that he cares. He also told us someplace else how much he really cares. And there it is. We can all know it. We can all say it. But he gave us his son as a sacrifice. And we just recognized that, didn't we? So you thought we were running way behind. Kind of caught up a little bit there, but take time, and when you get into all that meat and the meeting and all that stuff is important for us. But don't forget to look around. Don't forget to reconnect and put the gadgets away and clear your head of all the machinery we've got and all those kinds of things. And look at what God gave us, because there is no excuse. There's no excuse for looking at all this and thinking, man has the power and man has the answers. Because you will have no excuse when you stand before the Father. We offer you the invitation this morning to accept God.